present A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. Once again, we turn the pages of the Book of Life of the miser Ebenezer Scrooge. Christmas Eve in the year 1842. The avaricious Scrooge, with a heart of stone, has received visitations from the ghost of his late partner, Jacob Marley. There came, too, the spirit of Christmas, showing him visions of Christmases past and present, visions that have begun to melt his hard old heart. Alone in his dingy counting house, he awaits the spirit of Christmas yet to come.
It's very cold, cold and dark. It's growing colder and darker.
The hour of 12. On the last stroke, the spirit, a terrifying figure, hooded and draped in black from head to foot, appears and moves towards him.
Ebenezer Scrooge.
I am in the presence of Christmas yet to come. You are about to show me shadows of the things that have not yet happened, but will happen in the time before us. Is that so, Spirit? Ghost of the future, I fear you more than any specter I have seen. But as I know your purpose is to do me good, and as I hope to live to be another man from what I was, I am prepared to bear you company and do it with a thankful heart. Will you not speak to me? Lead on, then. The night is waning fast, and it is precious time to me, I know. Lead on, Spirit. We're in a room, if you can call it a room, a filthy, grimy hovel lit by a guttering candle. Sitting at a table, an evil-looking, horrible old man. I know his face. He's well known in the city as a receiver of stolen property. They call him Old Joe.
Who's there?
Let me in, Joe.
Who is it?
Me, Mrs. Dilber, the charwoman. Let me in. You're never averse to doing a bit of business, I'm sure.
It couldn't have come to a better place. Come into the parlour. You've been free of it long enough, you know. Yeah, we're both suited to our calling. We're well matched.
Nah, business, Joe, business.
Stolen goods, eh, Mrs. Dilber? This what comes of being an old miser's charwoman, is it?
What odds, then? Everyone has the right to take care of themselves. He always did.
True indeed. No man more so.
Why, then, don't stare at me as though you was afraid. Who's the wiser? We're not going to pick holes in each other's coats, I suppose. And who is the worse for a loss of a few things like these? Not a dead man, I suppose.
No, indeed.
If he wanted to keep him after he was dead, the wicked old screw, why wasn't he natural in his lifetime? If he had been, he'd have had someone to look after him when he was struck with death, instead of lying there, gasping out his last. Alone by himself.
A judgment on him.
I wish it had been a heavier judgment. And it should have been, you might depend on it, if I could have laid my hands on anything else. Take a look at these, Joe, and tell me the value of them.
4 seals. Pencil case. Pair of silver buttons.
couple of brooches. Yeah, that's the account, 7 bob. If you ask me for another penny, I'll make it an open question. I'll repent of being so liberal and knock her half a crown.
No use arguing with you, Joe. Now, how much for these?
Sheets, towels, 2 teaspoons, a pair of sugar tongs, some old boots. There's not much value here. 4 bob for the lot.
But, Joe, only...
I always give too much to ladies. It's a weakness of mine. Not another 6 minutes if I was to be boiled. What next? What's this? Bed curtains?
Bed curtains, Joe.
Here, you don't mean to say you took them down, rings and all, with him lying there.
I did. And why not? And don't drop candle grease on them blankets.
His blankets?
Those else's.
I hope he didn't die of anything catching.
You might look through that shirt till your eyes ache, but you'll find no hole nor a threadbare place. It's the best he had, and a fine one too.
You're a caution, you are, Mrs. Dilver. Well, here you are. Here's your account.
Thank you, Joe. Always pleased to do business with you. Money down, and no questions asked, eh?
And no answers given either, Mrs. Dilber.
This is the end of it, you see. He frightened everyone away from him when he was alive to profit us when he was dead.
Spirit, I see. The case of this unhappy man might be my own. My life tends that way now. What spirit? Don't tell me that it is me. Don't say that it's me they speak of. If there is any person in the city who feels emotion caused by my death, show that person to me, spirit, I beseech you. Spirit, this is a fearful place. In leaving it, I shall not leave its lesson, trust me. Let us go. Let us see some tenderness connected with her death, or this dark chamber we bid farewell to now will ever haunt me. Bob Cratchit's house. There's Mrs. Cratchit and Martha at the table sewing. They seem to be making a garment. A black dress. And there is Peter reading from a book. And the children sitting round the fire. They're very quiet. But where is Tiny Tim? Spirit. Where is Tiny Tim? Where is Tiny Tim?
And he took a child and set him in the midst of them.
Don't read any more, Peter. This colour hurts my eyes.
Won't you rest them a while, Mother?
They're better again now. It makes them weep by candlelight. And I wouldn't show weak eyes to your father when he comes into the world. It must be near his time.
Past it, rather. But I think he's walked a little slower than he used these last few evenings, Mother.
I've known him walk with Tiny Tim upon his shoulder, very fast indeed. But he was very light to carry, and his father loved him so that it was no trouble. Come and sit by the fire, Father. Martha will have your tea ready in a minute.
My word, you're getting on with the dresses. They'll surely be ready by Sunday.
Sunday? You went today then, Robert?
Yes, my dear. I wish you could have gone. It would have done you good to see how green a place it is. But you'll see it often. I promised him that I would walk there on a Sunday. My little child. My little child. I'm sorry, my dear. I couldn't help it. But however and whenever we part from one another, I'm sure we shall none of us forget poor Tiny Tim, shall we? Or this first parting there was among us. And I know that when we recollect how patient and how mild he was, although he was only a little child, we shall not quarrel easily among ourselves and forget poor Tiny Tim in doing it. I'm very happy now. I'm very, very happy. And now I'll just go up and kiss him once good night. Dear Tom, I'll just kiss him good night.
I know it, but I know not how. I have learned my lesson, Spirit. Show me no more, I beg you. Leave me in peace. Must I go on? What is this dark and dismal place? A churchyard. I see a pointing, Spirit. What would you show me? A grave? But this is not a man's grave, Spirit. It's a new grave, fresh and green, and flower-covered, well cared for. It's the last resting place of a little child. It is the grave of Tiny Tim. Go on. You lead me to a dreary and lonely corner of the churchyard. The grass is long and dark and wet about my knees. This stone is broken, ill-favored, overrun with moss and weeds. The growth of vegetations of death. I must try and decipher the name upon this stone. E-B-E-N Ebenezer Scrooge. Am I that man they spoke about? No, Spirit, oh no. Hear me, Spirit. I am not the man I was. I will not be the man I must have been but for this intercourse. Why show me this if I am past all hope? Good Spirit, your nature intercedes for me and pities me. Assure me that I may yet change these shadows you have shown me by an altered life. I will honor Christmas in me heart and try to keep it all the year. I will live in the past, the present, and the future. The spirit of all three shall thrive within me. I will not shut out the lessons they teach. Oh, tell me I may sponge away the writing on this stone. Within me. Where am I?
here. I'm not dead either. I'm alive. The shadow of the things that would have been dispelled. They will be, I know they will. Oh, Jacob, Marley, heaven and Christmas time be praised for this. I say it on my knees. I don't know what to do. I'm as light as a feather. I'm as merry as a schoolboy. I'm as giddy as a drunken sailor. A Merry Christmas to everybody. A Happy New Year to all the world. This was coming in. That's where the ghost of old Jacob Marley entered. In that corner stood the ghost of Christmas Present. It's all right. It's all true. It all happened. I don't know what the day of the month it is. I don't know how long I've been among the spirits. I don't know anything. I'm quite a baby. Never mind. I don't care. I'd rather be a baby. Oh, it's a beautiful morning. Let's have the window open. No mist. Clear, bright, cheerful. Stirring cold. Piping for the blood to dance to. Golden sunlight. Heavenly sky. Sweet, fresh air. Merry bells. Glorious. Glorious. I must ask that boy what day it is. Hey, you there. What's today?
Hey.
What's today, me fine fellow?
Today? Why, it's Christmas Day.
Christmas Day? It's Christmas Day. I haven't missed it. The spirits have done it in one night. They can do anything they like. Of course they can. Of course they can. Hello, me fine fellow.
Hello.
Come to the window. I want a word with you. I know what I'll do. Listen, me boy. Do you know the poulterers at the next but one corner?
I should hope I did.
An intelligent boy. A remarkable boy. Do you know whether they've sold the prize turkey hanging up there? Not the little prize turkey, but the big one.
What, the big one as big as me, sir?
A delightful boy. It's a pleasure to talk to him. Yes, me lad.
Why, it's hanging there now.
Is it? Go and buy it.
Walker.
No, I'm in earnest. Go out and buy it and tell them to bring it here that I may give them direction where to take it. Come back with the turkey and I'll give you a shilling. Come back with it in 5 minutes and I'll give you half a crown.
Book goes the weasel, sir.
5 minutes and I'll give you half a crown. An excellent boy. He'll get on in the world. I'll send it to Bob Cratchit. That's what I'll do. I'll send it to Bob's. And he shan't know who sent it. Twice the size of Tiny Tim. Twice the size of Tiny Tim. And this knocker on the door. I shall love it as long as I live. I scarcely ever looked at it before. An honest expression in its face. It's a wonderful knocker. A wonderful knocker. That Mr. Goodman who called on me. I have his card. I'll write a note to him, ask his pardon, and send him a cheque for £100. Yes, £100! That'll cover a great many back payments, a great many.
The turkey, sir.
You brought it back yourself, me fine fellow, eh? What a size! You're going to carry that to Camden Town, eh?
I can manage, sir.
Nonsense, you must have a cab. Here's the address. Bob Cratchit, 13 College Street, Camden Town. Can you remember that?
You try me, sir.
That's a good boy. And don't say who sent it, eh? There's for the cab, and this is for yourself now. Off you go.
Thank you, sir. Merry Christmas, sir.
He bade me a Merry Christmas. I told Bob Cratchit to come in this morning. If only I can catch him late. He is late. It's nearly 9:15. Here he comes, running as though the devil were after him. I pretend to be working. Where's me pen? Here it is. Shut that door. Come here, sir. What do you mean, coming here at this hour of the day?
I'm sorry, sir. I am behind me time.
You are? Yes, I think you are.
It's only once a year, sir. I was up late last night, sir, helping Mrs. Cratchit prepare the dinner for today.
My friend, I'm not going to stand this sort of thing any longer. I repeat, I'm not going to stand it. Therefore, sir, I am about to raise your salary. A Merry Christmas, Bob. A Merry Christmas, Bob, my good fellow. A merrier Christmas than I've given you for many a year. And raise your salary and endeavour to assist your struggling family. And we'll discuss your affairs this very afternoon over a Christmas bowl off Smoking Bishop. Now, off you go, and tell your good wife. I'll be along to see you later in the day.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, sir. I'll tell her, sir. Good day, sir. Thank you, sir.
No more work today. Here's my coat and my hat. Ah, here we are. What's that carol those children were singing? Good King Wenceslas. Now, I wonder if I could remember it. Good King Wenceslas, one day on the feast of Stephen.
Afternoon of that Christmas day. Dinner is over in the humble home of Bob Cratchit. There he is, standing before the fire, smoking his long clay pipe, surrounded by his family. And yes, there's Tiny Tim, his little crutch by his side, as happy as the rest of them.
A most excellent dinner, me dear. And we must thank God for it, and for giving us such a fine cook to enable us to enjoy it. Bless you, Mrs. Cratchit. And now the old year will soon be drawing to a close, and we must put forward our best efforts in the new year, so that when next Christmas tide comes round, we shall all be together again, and shall be able to look back on a good year's work well done.
Two new faces are added to this happy circle. Mr. Fred and his winsome wife to wish the family a Merry Christmas with presents for the children.
Christmas, Bob.
A Merry Christmas to you, Mr. Fred, sir.
A Merry Christmas, ma'am.
A Merry Christmas.
As you know, Bob, I called on my Uncle Scrooge last night. I was passing and I couldn't resist the temptation to drop in and wish him a Merry Christmas.
Oh, God, what did he have to say to that?
He said Christmas was a humbug, as I live.
Oh, he didn't, Mr. Fred.
He did, and he believed it too.
When I went to the office this morning...
The office? He never makes you work on Christmas Day.
He did indeed, Mrs. Fred.
Oh.
He told me I must come in for a couple of hours. When I arrived, late... he dug me in the ribs with his ruler and wished me a Merry Christmas.
What? Never. Hurrah! It's working after all. What did I tell you? It's the beginning of his reformation. You'll get that £50 after all.
Oh, no, no, sir. That'll never happen.
No.
It was perfectly plain for all to see that the old gentleman was suffering from a temporary derangement of the brain.
I'm sure he must have been.
And now, children, again.
Yes, again. Yes, again.
No, no, blind man. Whoa. One at a time. I've got a new game for you.
Ooh, a new game? What's it called, Mr. Fred?
Well, it's called Yes or No.
Yes or No? No.
Never heard of it. How do you play it?
Well, look, just keep quiet and I'll explain it to you. Now, I have to think of something. Any object, animal, vegetable or mineral.
Ooh.
And you have to find out what it is by asking me questions. But the only answer I'm allowed to give is Yes or No. Now, off you go, and the one who finds it out gets a florin. Ready?
Yes, we're ready.
Well, what am I thinking about?
Is it a vegetable?
No.
Is it an animal?
Yes.
Small animal?
No.
A large animal?
Yes.
An
animal? No.
Is it savage?
Ooh, yes.
Does it run to ground?
Yes.
Does it live in this city?
Yes. Oh, no.
Is it a pig?
No.
A horse?
No.
A bear?
No.
I found it after. I know what it is.
What is it, Tim?
It's Mr. Scrooge.
Right! Well, here's the florin.
It's not fair, Mr. Fred. I got it first. I said bear, and Mr. Scrooge is a bear if ever there was one.
All right. We won't quibble about it. There's a florin for you too, Peter.
Oh, thank you.
And now you'll all agree that my amiable animal has given us plenty of merriment, I'm sure. And so it would be most ungrateful not to drink his health before we do another thing.
There's your glass, Mr. Fred.
Oh, thank you, Bob. A Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to the old man wherever he is. He wouldn't take it from me, but he may have it nevertheless. Uncle Scrooge.
Uncle Scrooge!
Am I coming?
Why, what are you doing here, Uncle?
May I come in?
Why, certainly, sir. Welcome.
Thank you, Bob. I'm not so certain of me welcome at that. I don't think I've been very welcome here in the past, have I?
No, sir.
Well, come along, then. I haven't come here to damp your spirits. Don't stare at me as though I was a dancing bear. I've come to wish you a Merry Christmas, Bob.
What? Merry Christmas?
Thank you, sir. You did that this morning.
I want to meet your family, Bob. This is Mrs. Cratchit, eh?
Yes, sir. Sure, sir.
And Peter?
Yes.
And Martha?
Yes.
And this is Tiny Tim, eh?
A Merry Christmas, Mr. Scrooge.
The same to you, my boy. The same to you. Here, take these parcels, someone.
Ooh.
A little present for everybody.
Why, Uncle, what a change has come over you. Only yesterday you declared Christmas was a humbug.
So I did, Fred, boy. But I've changed my tune.
Oh.
It's never too late to mend, is it, eh? Never too late.
No, Uncle, indeed it isn't.
And I've come to show you how Christmas should be spent. Bless me heart, you young people don't know how to spend Christmas in these days.
Well, I like that.
In old Fezziwig's days, that was many years ago.
Will you take a glass, sir?
No, thank you, Bob. I've had enough of spirits to last me a lifetime. And they've given me something to think about, I can tell you. I'm going to alter my ways. And I'm going to look after you and yours, Bob.
Bob, did you hear that?
And I won't be satisfied until Tiny Tim here is strong and well again.
Hooray! Good old Uncle Scrooge!
You'll find me as good a friend, as good a master, and as good a man as this good old city ever knew.
Hooray!
I'm as good as any other good old city, town, or borough in this good old world.
You have been listening to part 3 of A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens, with Siobhan McKenna as the spirit of Christmas yet to come, and Annie McMaster as the miser Ebenezer Scrooge. Others taking part were Dominic Roach, Milo O'Shea, Vincent Darling, Eve Watkinson, Sheila Morris, and Coralie Carmichael. Production by Ian Priestley Mitchell.